And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is David Holly. In this episode, we will discuss the latest in Fulham news. Also have a Q&A session with my co-host, David, and we will end another edition of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable for the end of the show. Before we get going, I just want to mention again, thank you very much for everyone listening to Cottage Talk. It is very much appreciated. And I'm just waiting for my co-host to join me. We are having all kinds of technical difficulties today, but it looks like David is with me now. David, are you with me?
I am.
How are we doing, my friend? Sorry about all the technical difficulties we're having today.
No, I'm fine. Don't pull your hair out too much over it, Russ. It's just one of those days, I guess.
I guess it is, my friend. You know, we've been trying to connect for about, 35 minutes now, but we finally got a connection going. So we're going to talk about Fulham today. And again, unfortunately, you know, I was hoping to time this that we could do the show right before the Crawley Town match begins, but we're about a half hour behind. So we're going to be going into that, but that's okay because we're going to be talking about the starting lineup in a little bit, but let's start here. Again, I had talked to you about this offline. Fulham actually started the preseason last week in Portugal against Aston Villa and won 3-1. I watched the match myself. David, I know you didn't see the match, but what can you take out of this match for Fulham?
I did see the highlights. I don't want to get too excited about it because it's preseason. There are a lot of changes. Villa made lots of changes. But it's a positive, obviously, that we had a run out. A bit of competitive action. We scored 3 goals, including a very nice goal by Kakanicic, and of course, goals from our 2 main strikers, Smith and McCormack. So, all good, really. Can't do any harm. Let's just not get too carried away and think that all our problems have gone and the season's going to be fantastic on one result. But a good step to start off with, anyway.
Absolutely. Listen, David, whenever you can beat a Premier League side, whether it's preseason, whether it's regular season, you know, in a cup match, whatever, it's a good thing. And, you know, again, to win is a big deal. You know, you have to start winning. They need a winning mentality, David. So I look at it this way, you know, a win is a win. Whether it's preseason, you know, again, it's, you know, no one's playing, you know, at full strength yet. But again, it's just the beginning. So I took that as just a small positive step. The one thing I will mention, the player that stood out for me, David, and you'll like this, was Alex Kaczyniklic. I thought he was really great on the left-hand side. And we actually played with a good amount of width, David, which was kind of surprising. They lined up in a 4-4-2.
Yeah, that's a bit strange because we've all been predicting this 4-3-3 or 4-5-1 kind of scenario for this season. And when you look at today's lineup again for Crawley, once again, it's a 4-4-2. So not sure what's going on, whether we're all wrong or whether Kit's doing a bit of bluff or trying something else out or just doesn't have the players yet to his disposal to play maybe, you know, the 4-3-3 or 4-5-1 scenario. So obviously width is a good thing to have, but, you know, that is going to be a completely different style of play, I guess, and that would rely much more on the scenario, I guess, with Matt Smith maybe starting, getting the ball wide, getting crosses in, etc., etc. But, you know, it's good to see someone like Alex getting a run in the team because I guess, to be honest with you, we'd almost discounted him with the new signings and the way we've been talking about playing. So if he's back on form and can have a good run, it gives us more options and a bit of a headache, really, I suppose, for selection-wise.
Absolutely, David. And I'm going to give you a couple of other names of players that also featured. And again, both of them are substitutes in this upcoming match. We'll be going through the starting 11 and the subs momentarily. But Thomas Eisfeld started it on the other side. And Larnell Cole came off the bench in the second half, played the entire second half again on the wing, opposite of Alex Kaczyniklic. So can we read anything into Kit setting them up to play like a really old-fashioned 4-4-2?
It's difficult to say because, as I say, we predicted that this season was going to be different. You know, last year, you know, Mike especially was saying, we won a 4-4-2, and we never really got a proper 4-4-2. We had a horrible diamond and whatever else. I think, to be honest with you, last week he gave perhaps some of the, you know, the fringe players ago, Eisfeldt and Cole obviously coming on, because we didn't really see any of the new guys so much last week, and they're now obviously starting to feature more this week at Crawley. I think it's a bit of rotation, giving everyone a chance, really, not wanting to burn anyone out too much. I think giving the new guys as much time to integrate in training with their new colleagues than just throwing them in at the deep end, really. I wouldn't take any messages from these pre-season friendlies. I mean, if we see two or three games in the trot with the same team, same formation, then perhaps you can start to think, well, there you go, that's more or less what we're going to be playing like. But at the moment, it's probably quite experimentation, I'd have thought. And it's a matter of just giving everyone game time, trying things out, seeing where we go from it.
Okay, very good, David. Excellent analysis there. And like I said, we are going to be going through the starting 11 and the substitutes momentarily. I just want to go through a couple of other things in the Fulham news. And I do want to mention this. This is actually a follow-up to last week's discussion about Shad Khan and his ownership. I don't know if you follow Tony Khan at all, David, but I do. And Tony was actually tweeting last week, I believe it was last Saturday, he was tweeting things out. I'm going to share this with you, and I want to get your thoughts on it. He tweeted this out, and I find this very interesting. This is after that story in the London Evening Standard broke. This is what Tony Khan tweeted out. "I'm sick of people telling lies to further their own agendas. We're going to innovate at Fulham, not vacate. Come on, you whites." What do you make of that coming from Shad Khan's son, David? I think that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, I do follow Tony Khan, and from basically being someone who's been on the whipping end of comments aimed at his dad, because he really had nothing much to do with Fulham, I think, he's been getting more and more and more involved with Fulham. And, you know, quite a lot of his tweets now are Fulham related, where previously it was only the Jaguars. So I felt sorry for him because he was on the receiving end a few times. But it's good to see that he seems to be taking a genuine interest and a genuine passion. And he's, innovate is a good word. He seems to be offering a very innovative approach, really, because they've been talking about analytics and things and very modern, you know, modern ways of analysing the whole thing, really. The whole, I don't know how they'd analyse exactly, but, you know, to look at everything in a very scientific and logical way, I guess, and to get the best out of what we have. And it's good that he's on board.
Yeah, listen, it's totally great that he's on board. And you know what? What's interesting, again, he was tweeting along with that with, again, the Twitter account. I believe it's Adam Braun Smith, A. Braun Smith on Twitter. Because he asked him this question, David, and I find interesting. He tweeted to Tony Khan, "Can we expect many more signings this summer in Fulham? Impressed with the recruitment." And this was Tony Khan's response, David. This was a week ago. "Yes, more to come. Thank you for your support. We're all working hard to ensure the club will prosper." And again, I find that, you know, find that refreshing coming from Tony Khan, David.
No, it's great. I mean, I think it's clear to say that we need more signings still. I don't think anyone would be very happy if this was it for the summer, really. Especially as we may lose a player or two. There's certainly key areas where I think we'd all agree that we need more strength. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that some or all of the names that we've been hearing about in the papers are real targets, and that some or all of them may be joining us.
Absolutely, Dave. You know, again, we're hearing a lot of things. We're going to be talking about a few in a little bit. But listen, I got a treat for you. It looks like we do have our co-host live from Crawley Town on the line with us. Mr. Greg, are you with us?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mike. On the line with us is David. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Just trying to get away from the speaker. With not much luck.
Not a problem. I just appreciate you calling in and calling us from the match, which is going to be starting in about 13 minutes. So I just wanted to get quickly your thoughts on the starting 11 and the subs. We haven't gone through that yet. But I just want to get your overall thoughts on the starting 11 for today's match.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a mishmash, isn't it, of just trying to give players some starts and try some combinations. I've seen a few people say, oh, that's almost the starting 11. I would hope not, to be honest. But, yeah, it's a run out. I think most of the people here talking are a bit confused who's going to play on the wing, so that will be interesting if it's 4-4-2, which it probably will be.
Yep.
So, yeah, looking forward to it. It's a lovely day. It's quite hot. And a good number of Fulham fans here at the moment, and I'm sure there are more coming in.
That's great to hear, Mike. And listen, while I have you on the line, I'm just going to mention starting 11, which is Marcus Bettinelli, Jazz Richards, Sean Hutchinson, Nikolai Bodorov, Sean Kavanagh, Tom Kearney, Lasse Vigan Christensen, Jamie O'Hara, Alex Kacheniklic, Ross McCormack, and Matt Smith. That's the starting 11. And, you know, again, it sounds pretty interesting. David and I were just talking before that we were expecting – in the preseason to see possibly a 4-3-3, but this could be a 4-4-2 again.
Yeah, I think it will be. And I mean, it's, you know, it's only the second or third game, isn't it? They've still got another couple of games in Austria and then the Palace game. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if he changes it when they're in Austria. But, yeah, at the moment, even when you look at the sub bench, it looks as if it's going to be 4-4-2 second half as well. So
it does.
Yeah. It's so I don't know how he's going to keep all these midfielders happy. That's for sure if he continues with this kind of formation.
Absolutely, and listen, I'm going to mention the substitutes right now: Andy Larnigan, and as the goalkeeper, you have Voser, Grimmer, Bird, Hyman, Pringle, Tunnicliffe, Eisfeld, Cole, Woodrow, and Taggart. And Mike, you know, it's funny because you and I were talking offline. There's a name missing. Were you surprised to see the name of Pat Roberts not on the substitute bench here?
Yes. I mean, I was. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the photo that's doing the rounds, I don't think that is him at Man City. But yeah, I mean, he's missing. Parker's recovering from the injury. Burns missing as well. So I know we've got a fairly big squad, but he's the biggest standout as not around, and I suspect that's a, you know, let's be honest, his days are numbered if he's not going to sign that contract. So it's whatever deal Regan McIntosh can get for him, and we use that money to strengthen the team elsewhere. And but everyone's resigned now, I think, to seeing him going.
Yeah. Saw this. And then the substitutes and did not see him included, Mike. That does raise my eyebrows a little bit, like, okay, what's going on here? And before I let you go, David, did you want to ask Mike anything real quick?
No, just to say we were discussing it, Mike. It's ironic that we've been predicting this 4-3-3, 4-5-1, and it looks to me like a 4-4-2. So it'll be very interesting to see if he changes this in the next few games or not, Mike. Otherwise, maybe he's going to be trying a 4-4-2 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised he's playing Smith and McCormack together. I mean, we know they can play together. I'd be more interested in seeing different, you know, McCormack playing with Taggart again for another half, or, you know, just switching it around. You know, there's still another three games to settle down the actual formation and squad. So I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but yeah, I mean, it's clear though, isn't it, that we're two defenders short of what we really need. That absolutely stands out, and we need to rectify that, I think, in the next week.
Yeah.
No, good stuff there, Mike. Listen, I'm going to let you go, and before I let you go, I do want to mention that Mike will be tweeting during the match, and are you going to be experimenting with Periscope, Mike?
I've done a few this half, but I'll see how it goes. I mean, it's, you know, I like to enjoy the game as well. And I'll try my best.
I don't blame you, Mike. Don't worry about that. If you can do it, you can do it. If you can't, don't worry about it. I want you to enjoy the match, my friend. But definitely follow Mike if you're interested on Periscope at 1966 MJG. Definitely follow him there. And obviously on Twitter, I'm sure Mike will be tweeting out. And listen, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Again, we were having some technical issues. I'm glad that we could get you in.
Okay, no problems. Have a good rest of the show, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Okay, take care, Mike.
Cheers.
Thanks,
Mike. Cheers,
Mike. Bye. Okay, that was our Cottage Talk co-host, Mike Gregg, calling us directly from the grounds, David, which is actually pretty cool. We're just talking to Mike Gregg, who's at the Crawley Town preseason match with Fulham today. And what do you make of our short conversation with Mike?
Well, it's good. Good that obviously we've got people there, because it'll be unlikely we'll see the whole game. So it'll be interesting that we get some good balanced views of how the team plays, the performance, individual performances and collective performances, really, and to see if we can actually learn anything from today's match. It's not, obviously, again, the be-all, end-all, the result, but I think it's interesting to see, start to build up a picture, you know, trends of how people are playing and how, you know, the formations that we're playing and what differences there may be from last season, and we can start to kind of think, you know, how next season might pan out.
Right. It's, you know, again, it's interesting. And when I saw the starting 11, and we might as well go right into it because we were talking about it with Mike, I was just surprised, David, because, again, I've convinced myself after looking at the team, thinking that they were going to play, like you said, more 4-5-1, 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. And it just seems like these first two preseason matches, they're set up with the traditional 4-4-2, which is, again, I find fascinating. And let's now, we were already talking to Mike, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Here's the starting 11, David. Please share with me what you think here. Again, Marcus Bettinelli, Jazz Richards, Sean Hutchinson, Nikolai Bodaroff, Sean Kavanaugh. Then we have Tom Kearney making his debut with Fulham. Lasse Vigan Christensen back with the team. Jamie O'Hara as well going to be in with the team. Alex Kacheniklic, Ross McCormack, at Smith. So how do you think that this is going to look like today, David?
Well, my first thought was Kearney's going to be playing on the right and Kacheniklic on the left, and with Christensen and O'Hara through the middle, obviously in the two up front. But I guess, you know, I guess there could be like a, they could do it, they could play a 4-3-1-2 with Kacheniklic behind the front two.
Yeah.
Or they could play a 4-3-3, I guess, with Kacheniklic and McCormack on either side of Smith. You know, it's difficult to say,
true.
But I think with Smith in the team, then you probably want to be playing more of a 4-4-2 because you want to be capitalising on his aerial advantage and getting wide and getting balls into the box for him. So it'd be interesting to see, obviously, once they kick off, how they do play. But it's a surprise, really, that, as I say, we've seen this system because, you know, perhaps they could have lost one of the strikers, maybe could have lost Smith and put an extra man in midfield like Pringle, for example, to have more runners.
Right.
And I think when you look at the sort of just the overall lineup, you think the main areas of concern would be, you know, the defence, especially the left back, really. You know, Kavanagh hasn't had such a good time at left back, really. That's really the position that I would be worried about most looking at that. And then it's where we go with the central defenders as well. Because we've tried most permutations at the back. None of them were super successful, although I think Hutchinson and Bodaroff had a relatively successful time at one bit. But we never cured our ails in defence. You know, we thought we were getting there at times, and then unfortunately it just the wheels fell off and we conceded loads of goals. We had couple of games, you know, where we kept clean sheets or whatever and it looked promising, but it never lasted. So certainly the defence, central defence, I think we need a player in there still. Left back, certainly. Central midfield, it's going to really depend on what happens with Parker, whether there's any truth to the McDonald rumours. Obviously, we've got Emerson Hyman who can come in there as a genuine central midfielder. Pringle can play somewhere in midfield. Not so worried about our midfield positions, really, but left back, I think, number one concern from
sure.
This now looking at this lineup.
Absolutely, because again, we're going to be seeing Sean Kavanaugh left back. And what's interesting, again, I have not seen him in the preseason. My biggest concern with him last season was being a little slight, you know, that he needed to put on some weight. It'll be interesting to see if he actually did that, you know, over the course of the last couple months. I hope he did. and filled out a little bit, because I think he's going to need that if he wants to be a left back in the championship, David.
Yeah, well, the thing is he's not as young as you think. I know he's young, but he's not like he's, you know, a teenager. I think, you know, he is fully grown. So any sort of improvement in size would be a kind of a gym thing, and, you know, lots of protein and bulking
sure.
up. He's not going to physically grow anymore, I don't think. So it's really a matter of whether... I think it's also in your head as well. It's not just about his physical side of thing. At times, he just seemed to be chasing the ball a little bit. The best players,
right.
they kind of have that extra half a yard in their head, you know. The people who don't, maybe not even not blessed with natural pace, they read the game so well, and, you know, they get in the right positions. And you know, for him, I was just not convinced that he quite had that there yet. He needs that extra half yard in his mind as well as any physical attributes. So, you know, let's hope he's had a good summer and he's improved. But based on last season, I'm not convinced, and I certainly think we need to strengthen that position.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about that a little bit in the College Soccer Controversy Roundtable, David. But before we move away from the team that's going to be playing Crawley Town today, again, I'm going to mention the substitutes, and I just want to get your thoughts about this. Andy Larnigan is the backup goalkeeper, Kai Voser, Jack Rimmer, Burgess, and Donnelly. You know, Donnelly can actually play in the midfield as well, but he is a defender, so that's very interesting. Emerson Hyman. Got Pringle, Tunnicliffe, Eisfeld, Cole, Woodrow, and Taggart. What do you make of the substitutes? Anyone stick out to you that you're hoping we hear some news about today?
Well, they've literally named, I think, most of the guys who are available, haven't they? I think obviously probably we want to see Ben Pringle get involved at some point, see what he can do. Maybe Taggart as well, because we haven't seen much of him. Otherwise, it's just a match of giving guys a bit of a run out.
Sure.
Thing with Tunnicliffe is that they don't need to feature him too much, Tunnicliffe, because he's suspended for the first two games of the season. So they're going to have to make sure that they're adequately sort of capable without him. They know he's not going to be available, so there's no point kind of featuring around him too much, really. He needs obviously to get some game time and practice and stay fit, but, you know, he's not going to be an integral part. And, you know, you look at it logically. If we start the season well, first two games, and he's not in the team, then it's going to be harder for him to get back into the team, isn't it? So
absolutely.
You know, you wouldn't change a team to bring him back in if they're doing well. So it's going to be harder for him. He may end up just at best being a bench player as cover. But I think for me, out of the bench players, Taggart and Pringle are the ones I'd want to see most feature, and I'm sure they will do.
I definitely agree with you. I'm going to throw Emerson Hyman in there as well, David. We're going to be talking about him in a little bit. Someone wrote an interesting article about him, and I'm curious your thoughts about Emerson Hyman. And it's funny because I know you're curious how I feel about him, because last year I was, you know, I was concerned. I did not want to see him being rushed into playing with Fulham Football Club. I kind of have a change of heart going into this season, and I'll share that when we get there, my friend. But before we move on, I did mention – to Mike again, because there's talk about this. There's a lot of talk about this. Pat Roberts is not in the starting 11. Pat Roberts is not on the bench. Does that give you a signal that maybe something's going on here?
Well, there's this photograph on Twitter this morning, allegedly, of Pat Roberts having medical at Manchester City. A picture taken from a long way away. It could not. It might be him. It might not be him. So, you know, it's possible that something's going on with Roberts. But for me personally, I think it'd be a terrible shame if he goes to Man City, because I really don't see him getting much of a chance there at the moment.
I totally agree with you.
I think, you know, if he's going to go anywhere, Liverpool would be more suited. His family.
I totally agree with that, David. Totally.
And
yep.
And with this, and also the assistant manager, you know, Sean O'Driscoll at Liverpool now, ex-Fulham player, of course. And
yep.
He was Roberts' manager at the England, you know, the youth level. He's been managing Roberts for England. So he knows Roberts pretty well and everything. So I think Liverpool would be a much more sensible move, assuming they're interested in him, of course, obviously.
Right.
But obviously something's up, because if Roberts isn't going to get a chance in these kind of matches, then, unless, of course, he's got an injury that we don't know about, then, you know, he really is, you know, he's out of the frame completely, because, you know, I don't know whether it's Kit doesn't want him in the team because he wants to leave, or because something is in the pipeline. But, you know, if he's not playing now, I doubt we'll ever see him play for Fulham again.
It's fascinating. And again, I was waiting to see if he was going to be in the starting 11 or on the bench, David, before we talked about it, because, again, it's all over Twitter. And I don't know if that's him in that picture. I've seen the picture. I have no idea. So, I want to caution anyone for thinking that picture is definitely – that's just someone taking a picture. Who knows if that's Pat Roberts or not. But the bigger news is the fact that he's not with Fulham today. Unless, like you said, Dave, unless he has an injury – then there's something going on. There's absolutely something going on. But again, we don't know. You know, we have no idea of knowing, and only time will tell. I'm sure there'll be resolution of this situation sooner than later. All right, David, let's move on. And let's go back to Fulham news, because again, this actually does go with talking about the starting 11, because there's a name, a player that's not there either, or on the bench, and that's Scotty Parker. And you mentioned this to me, and I actually did see this in the Sun. There is speculation of Scott Parker possibly having some interest from Bournemouth. What are your thoughts about this? Again, I did see this today, but thank you for alerting me to this speculation.
Well, it could be rubbish, of course. You know, lots of people are linked or mentioned. You know, you know, we've had Shahid Khan buying Spurs last week. We've had Fulham finding all sorts of players. You know,
right.
You can't necessarily one story, but you know, I was quite disappointed by some of the reaction, because a lot of people on Twitter have been saying, well, they'd be quite happy to see Scotty out the door and drive him there themselves almost. And, you know, and people seem to have a short memory and forget what a great servant Scott Parker has been for Fulham. When he's been fit and in the team, he's driven the team forward and he's put his body on the line. You know, he's not maybe, you know, the most technically gifted players in terms of skill and passing and whatever, but his work rate, you can't fault it, and he drives the team forward. Yeah, and you know, age is catching up with him. Ideally, we need people who can play every game, not, you know, half the time. So you can understand that, you know, he may not be a regular anymore. He's probably on big wages, so there is perhaps some logic to moving him on. I could understand that, but it'll be with a, you know, reluctance, because I think he is a model pro and a great example to the younger players. Just look at that Derby match last year, how he drove the team to victory. It was single-handedly almost, Scotty Parker, you know, when he robbed Will, what's his face, didn't he? Robbed him in midfield.
Will Hughes.
The ball forward. Yeah, Will Hughes. That was it. Sorry, my memory. I've had too much morphine since then. My memory's even worse than it was last year. But yeah, Will Hughes, remember when he robbed him of that?
Yes.
He looked stupid, you know. You know, he's a very driven, determined player, and he's been a great player for us. It just, again, it hasn't always worked out for one thing or other. Maybe people around him, you know, we had that scenario one season where it was him and Sidwell in centre midfield. Didn't quite ever work, wasn't quite the right balance. But, you know, I'd be very sad to see him go. I'm not sure how much there is in it. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, Bournemouth, they're in the Premier League. Yes, I guess they do want people who have Premier League experience in the team, but signing someone at the end of the career who's maybe not up to playing all the matches, I'm not sure if that would be a good move or not for them, really.
Right.
Fairly, you could see Parker in a mentoring role, a coaching role in years to come. But I don't know how much you can put on this. You know, the reason he's not playing at the moment is because he's injured. He's recovering from, you know, from surgery. It's not
right.
Because he's, you know, dropped or rested. So I don't know. It could be rubbish. Someone may have just put the link together about him and his brother-in-law.
Exactly.
But who knows until we hear more. This is one story, remember, just one story.
Yeah, it's just one story, and you know, for what it's worth, it's in the Sun, and you know, I have my own issues with the Sun, and when I see things linked with the Sun, I kind of put that in a certain category. I tend not to give it too much weight, but again, it's out there. And David, before we move on from Scott Parker, I just want to bring fans back to this, because this is something that goes through my mind. Now, again, I don't know how much Scott Parker is going to play this season with Fulham. Say he stays with Fulham. You know, I hope that that his load is lessened. He doesn't play as many matches. But I look at this as a similar situation to the end of the career of Danny Murphy. I didn't want to see Danny Murphy move on, and I thought that really hurt Fulham. And I think Fulham, you know, again, this is just speculation, but I want to see Scott Parker end his career, honestly, with Fulham and possibly become a coach if that's something that he's interested in doing. But I actually think it would be a mistake to let Scott Parker go, David, because I just go back and I remember how it went wrong with losing Danny Murphy.
No, you're right. I mean, although Danny Murphy was even older than Parker is,
true,
it was his talk that he couldn't play 90 minutes. I think, you know, we really suffered when he left, really suffered. And, you know, it's all very well people saying he's old and he goes around in circles and, you know, but the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And unless they have a serious replacement in lined up, then you have to be very careful. I mean, now this guy's an England international, remember? You know,
yes.
Not that many years ago, he was playing for England, which is, you know, more than Sidwell ever did. And you know, and even more, really, to be honest with you, Murphy. Murphy did have a few games for England early in his career, but he wasn't selected for a long time. But Parker was selected for England not that long before he joined Fulham, really. So, obviously, the powers that be thought that he was a good enough player. And, I've had nothing but been impressed by Parker. Didn't like him as a player that much before he joined Fulham, not really. But ever since he joined Fulham and I met him and I saw his work rate and commitment, very, very impressed with it. And, you know, great example to the younger players. So if he can stay and he can feature, the only thing would be, you know, I'd be guarded against a player that can only play half the matches, chopping and changing the team to allow that could be a dangerous precedent. You know, you want to have a settled team as much as possible. You really do. So that would be the only thing I'd be, you know, be careful about. That, you know, if he's going to feature, I think he needs to be able to feature all the time, more or less. You know, not someone who plays every other game, because that could be damaging to the continuity of the squad and everything, and you know, because someone else would have to play half the games as well to counter that. And I think it's a dangerous precedent. That would be my only worry.
Okay. Very, very interesting take there, David. All right, let's move on. Let's go to a little Q&A. Again, we have some questions for you, and I'm going to start here with our friend Stuart Roberts. Very interesting question, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. Here's Stuart's question. We're clearly intent on bringing in a central defender and left back. The players we've been connected with are mostly young, in the profile of 22 to 27 years old, with future sell-on value. No problem with that. However, we lack experience and we need a leader at the back. I think we need to get someone like Stearman from Wolves, who was Wolves' captain last season and has bags of experience as well as quality. I suspect we will need to pay a bit over the odds this time. We've done very well to get O'Hara and Pringle for nothing. So this investment would be worth it in my view. Do you agree? P.S. Same could be said at left back. Finally, lovely to hear David back on the show. Okay, David, what are your thoughts on that?
Thanks for your wishes, Stuart. I don't know enough about Stearman's game. I haven't studied enough to say whether he is the man, but I do understand and I do tend to agree with the premise about signing an experienced leader to play in that position. We have Brodaroff. He's probably our most experienced defender, although not necessarily in England at the moment. You know, the other guys around him, Byrne, Hutchinson, are fairly inexperienced. No sign of Amabrieta today, so I think you can almost safely say that he's probably going to be on his way out, I think, as well. But yeah, I mean, if you can find the right person, a rock in the centre defence, someone maybe a little bit older, you know, in the later 20s perhaps, proven, I don't disagree that, you know, maybe it's worth going a bit big, because that was our key issue last year. Obviously, our defence, the organisation of our defence,
Sure.
Having the right person there will help the players around them. It will help Bettinelli as well. So I don't think you can argue with that, really. It's just finding the right person and managing to sign them.
No, listen, it's a very good point, and I'm glad that Stuart brought that up because, again, I'm not against bringing in an experienced player, and sometimes you have to pay a little bit for that. And Stearman, I don't know that much about him, but I think he fits the bill from what Stuart's looking for. But let's look at the flip side, David, then we'll move on. We've been linked to Lewis Dunk. Now, I don't know if Lewis Dunk is – if that's going to happen, but, again, there's been plenty of speculation with us and Lewis Dunk. Now, again, he's younger, probably doesn't have the experience of Stearman. Would you be more interested in going young with the upside or experience? And you really can only – I got a feeling that they might only be able to really pay, I guess you could say, through the nose for one of them. So which would interest you more, someone with less experience but more upside or the experienced player?
It's hard to say, isn't it, because – you know, you never really know how it's going to work until someone gets in the team. You know, when we signed Hangeland, he was a complete unknown, really, in British football. I mean, he was experienced, but not at this level. And I suppose it was quite a gamble, really, and it turned out to be a great gamble. Again, you know, it's hard to say. You can never be sure who's going to fit in. I think, you know, if you can get hold of Dunk, obviously, a younger guy, a great defender, supposedly, it'd be hard to turn that down. In an either-or situation, I know it's very, very difficult. Because, as I say, you never know with players. You can sign any player you like, and you'll find that until you see them play, you don't know. We've signed people before who've turned out to be a lot better than expected, and vice versa. You know, look, poor old Brian Ruiz, you know, player of great pedigree, never worked at Fulham at all.
Right.
Just some people, you know. Danny Murphy was the opposite, wasn't it? I think we signed Danny Murphy with quite low expectations. His career had really hit the rocks since he left Liverpool. Turned out to be brilliant for Fulham. So until you get them in and you get them in the team and you see how they perform, it's impossible to say. I think theoretically you want an experienced head, but you know, we had Michael Turner last year in the team. Did he help? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I wasn't convinced that Michael Turner made a big difference, but even though he's an experienced head at the back, I think, you know, if we can build for the future with younger people, let's go for that way, as long as they are competent enough to play and to grow.
Okay, very interesting take. You know, to be honest with you, I do understand where Stuart's going, because that's part of the reason why, you know, Scott Parker thing is important to me. Why I think it's important to keep on Scott Parker, because they need experienced players, David. Personally, I would like to see them target a player like Lewis Dunk. If it's not Lewis Dunk, someone else. I understand what Stuart's saying. For me, if they get both, that's great. But if you had to pick, I would go for the experience of the player that doesn't have as much experience but has more upside. And that's the direction I would go. But I do understand where Stuart's coming from. Very interesting question from him. I want to mention that, David. All right, David, let's move on. Again, just for time's sake, let's go into the Cottage Talk controversy roundtable. What do you think?
Wait, no more questions then, no?
Well, there were a few more, David, but again, this is just, you know, again, this is just more of a timing thing. But do you want me to ask you another question? We do have a couple more.
Ask me another question.
Yeah, okay.
We've got 38 minutes at the moment. Carry on.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. Okay. This is from Chris Hurd. Why isn't there any transfer rumors, Dave? There, you know, again, things have gone quiet on that front.
Well, there are transfer rumors, but not as many as there were, or there's not been so many new ones, really. I guess. It's a timing thing now. Some clubs are away on tours, perhaps, you know, out of the country. There are transfer rumours. We have Patrick Roberts, we have Dunk, we have McDonald, we've had other, you know, Scott Parker today. There's always transfer rumours around. I think you just get, when there's close season, nothing going on, you probably get a bit of silly season, all sorts of stories come out of the woodwork. I think Fulham are a club that like to play their cards very close to their chest, to be honest with you as well. They never disclose transfer fees. They never announce transfers until it's all signed, sealed and delivered. Everyone else knows about it before the Fulham announce it normally, if it comes to it, normally. So I'm sure there's things going on. I'm certain there's things going on. It's just Fulham are doing their best to keep it quiet. And as I say, there's some clubs are away at the moment on tours. So perhaps potential business can't be concluded because players are not in the country at the moment.
No, very interesting there, David. You know, again, I'm glad that you brought up there. Listen, there has been transfer rumors. It's just, you know, it's just not as much as there was before. And again, we're going to talk a little bit about that when we go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, when we talk about the back four, because I know that there are fans that are still very concerned about the back four. And before we move on, I'm going to mention this from George Kenton. Again, you know, a couple more questions. Here's his question. Where's the two center backs, left back and striker, we need badly? Pay money for these players or struggle again this season? Now, do you agree with George's take that if we don't get two center backs, a left back, and another striker, that we could struggle?
That's probably a bit over the top. I see we've scored a goal, by the way. Kearney scored, which is good. Off Smith's header, rebound Smith's header, so good for Tom Kearney there, getting a debut goal. But for George's point, I think a striker and a left back and two centre backs is maybe a little bit overkill. I think definitely we want to see a centre back, a left back. On the striker front, I don't know. We do have still plenty of striking options, really. Smith, McCormack, Woodrow, Taggart, Dembele. If we're playing one up front, there's four not going to be playing. Even if we're playing two up front, there's still three more other options. So, striker. The problem with the striker issue is, I think I said it before, if we went out and signed Jordan Rhodes, then what are we going to do? We're going to drop Ross McCormack? You know, what you be doing? You know, I don't see where we would fit another striker in the picture of things at the moment. Left back and one centre back is my big concern. Midfield.
I agree with you, David.
Let's see what happens midfield wise. You know, vis-a-vis Scott Parker, perhaps. If there's anything materialises from Kevin McDonald, or indeed even Leon Britton, that's I've seen rumoured as well, because he's not gone on tour with Swansea and he's looking to move to get more regular football. And I'd heard that we may have been interested, but that's gone quiet as well. But, you know, it's a possibility as well. So I think we are still looking on centre midfielders still. So it's just one centre defender and a left back is my big concern.
Okay, very good. And it looks like, again, this is from Mike Gregg, that Crawley have a penalty and foul on Jazz Richards. So, again, just to update, I'm just going through what Mike Gregg and Fulham are tweeting out, David. That's not good. Oh. And it's 1-1. It is 1-1. Just to mention, just to update everyone while we're doing this. Again, we are seeing the tweets. We are doing this while the preseason match, and it's now 1-1. And Mike Gregg just tweeted out it was a clumsy foul by Richards. So hopefully we will get highlights on that, David.
That,
but that's what
he would say, that wouldn't he? If it had been Jack Grimmer, it was never a penalty or something. You know, the guy dived.
oh boy, that's good stuff, David. See, this is how I know you're getting better. Your humor's coming back.
Is it? I don't think my wife would agree with you at the moment. I'm a bit of a miserable grump here, but
okay.
No,
well,
thanks. Yeah.
Well, I'm just, you know, honestly, listen, we had a really tough time getting this show started today. So I got to tell you, I've enjoyed doing this with you. We still got some time to talk some phone, but I just wanted you to know I've really enjoyed doing the show with you so far, my friend.
Cheers.
All right. Let's move on. And David, you did want to mention this because you've been Skyping me about this. So I am going to mention this. Let's talk about the kit situation. because it is kind of fascinating. And again, I was going past that in full news, but we might as well talk about it because it is a very curious situation. During the week, Fulham announced the launch of the new kit has been delayed, but they have a brand new sponsor. Fulham will wear last season's kit in the remaining preseason matches. What are your thoughts about this situation with the kit, David? Are you concerned?
Oh, it's I'm used to it now. Nearly every time we launch a new kit, there's some sort of debacle or something or delay or whatever. I can, you know, even when the kit is out, the actual replica kits on sale to the fans don't come out till Christmas or something because they have some delay somewhere. There's always something going on with the kits, you know. So kind of become blasé with it. Very Fulhamish thing to do. And, you know, you just come to expect these things, really. I guess it's pretty embarrassing for the club that, you know, they're desperate to show their new kit and start getting sales of the replicates to the fans. But then I think it was fairly obvious that we weren't going to extend our contract with Marathon Bet, looking for a new sponsor. And obviously, I don't know exactly the nature of the delay. You know, there has been rumours, I'm sure you've seen, of who the new sponsor might be.
Yes.
One was a soft drinks, looking at our sporting soft drinks manufacturer who happened to sponsor the stadium of a certain team in the East Midlands.
Yes,
as well.
I've seen that.
Was one I saw. I don't know how much truth there is in that, but to me, if it was actually be a better sponsor than the last one, because I'm not a betting person, really. I don't really like that too much. And, you know, it comes down to, if you know, the kids' shirts don't have the sponsors on because they're not allowed to put the betting sponsors on the children's shirts, only on the adult sizes.
Yeah.
So it all gets a bit silly because the kids are saying, why don't I get the sponsor on my shirt? So it'd be nice to have someone perhaps less controversial as a sponsor, if that's the case. So it is a bit strange and wearing last season's kit still. And the fans will be disappointed if they're not able to wear the new strip for the start of the season, if it takes that long. I don't really know how long it's going to take. So it's all a bit of a disaster, probably, but nothing that is unusual or, you know, for Fulham anyway. We've had these kind of issues with kit launches before in the past, delays for one reason or another. Take it all with a pinch of salt these days, Russ.
Okay. Well, if you're not concerned, then I shouldn't be concerned. And we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Like you said, it happens. And I'm just curious who that new sponsor is going to be. Is it going to be the one that you're talking about? I've heard another name as well, so who knows? You know, again, only time will tell who the actual sponsor will be, David. All right, let's quickly go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. And, you know, just for time's sake, I'm just going to give you one topic. So let's talk about this. How concerned are you that Fulham have only signed Jazz Richards so far for help with the back four this season? And again, I worded it not in the greatest way. And what I really meant to say is the only signing that they have, you know, again, nothing against Jazz Richards, but he's the only sign that they have for the back four. How concerned are you that they've not added anyone else? That was my point.
Well, I think we've basically covered this already, really. We said that I think we need, as a minimum, a central defender and a left back. That's what we expect to see, really, in there. So, you know, let's hope that's in the pipeline, because that is the concern. The biggest concern, obviously, is, you know, our defence last season was a big concern, the number of goals we conceded. So certainly, you know, as George said, I think, a minute ago, he was looking for two central defenders, but certainly one central defender and a left back we need to see, and we need to see intent, and we need people to be signed who are, they're going to be starters as well, not just people to augment the squad. We need people who are first choice players to get in there, because we don't really have a standout first choice left back at all. We have, you know, Richards could play there as a push, Kavanagh can play there, Voser could play there, but none of them really kind of set the world alight at the moment or give you much confidence. So most certainly left back, centre half, yeah, we want to see someone in there, someone imposing, someone who's going to stamp his authority on the game, a strong player to link the defence, coordinate things there, you know, and help arrest, you know, the number of goals we concede from these set pieces and everything. So yeah, so that is the concern, certainly. That
yeah.
Striking isn't concerned for me, not really. I'm not concerned at the lack of signings of strikers, because we'll just create more problems. You know, we want to see Dembele getting more good, you know, more game time. I think we want to
yep.
see Taggart, how he can figure. And obviously we've got McCormack and, you know, and Smith as well, who will, you know, we'll see pretty regularly, I think. Midfield has been the most kind of worked on bit so far. So it is the defence, you're right. Big concern if it stays like it is, massive concern if it stays like it is, in fact. I would be very concerned about our prospects next season if it stays like this. So let's see who else he signs.
Okay, very good there, David. Very good. Okay, I'm just going to share some thoughts from the Fulham supporters here. Colin Forknall said, Grimmer, Richards, and Bose are all right backs, and Calvez are only left back. But if you think to last season, Richards can play left, and so can Bose. So maybe get a left back in, but concern not really. And if rumors are true, and we can loan Luke Garbutt, that all should be good. Okay, Ollie Asborough said, Garbutt would be a very short-term solution. Should Fulham be a training facility for other clubs' players? Let's see what else we got. Adam Pulver said, there are enough rumors to suggest we're actively pursuing more defenders, so not worried yet. Ask again in September. Curtis Hurd, very. If we don't sign a new left back and a new center back, probably two, I think we will be lower half of the table. Okay, let's see. Jacob Little said, we need another one player across the back, but actually think Brendan Bodaroff, week in, week out, would make a good partnership. Harvey Thame finished up. We need another tall, commanding center back. We conceded so many goals from crosses last season. It reminds me of when we were struggling prior to Hanglin joining. Very interesting take. Me personally, David, I'm with you. I think they need a left back and at least one center back. And I, you know, honestly, I think two center backs would be great, but one center back would be fine for me. All right, David, listen, we do have a little breaking news. Again, this is speculation, all right? So I just want to preface, this is speculation. This is coming from the Telegraph. This just came over, so I wanted to share this with you. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. This is from the Telegraph, from John Percy. It literally just came over. Man City to sign Fulham prodigy Patrick Roberts in deal worth up to £11 million. Exclusive. City to pay huge fee for 18-year-old winger with only 22 senior appearances. This is from John Percy's story. Manchester City will complete the signing of Fulham teenager Patrick Roberts in the next 48 hours in a deal worth a potential £11 million. Roberts is expected to seal his protracted move to Eastlands on Monday after City finally thrashed out an acceptable fee with the championship club. The England under-19 international will cost City an initial £5 million and a future £6 million could be paid out in add-ons. And another clear sign that Manuel Pellegrini is determined to recruit emerging British talent. Okay, and then, of course, it goes on and on about other signings with Man City. All right, David, this is speculation, but this is strong speculation from the Telegraph. We've seen stories before, but this one is again, talking about Patrick Robertson. He's not with Fulham's team today. What are your thoughts on the story?
Well, when you put that together with the alleged photograph of him earlier, it starts to make it look more and more likely that it's happening. But, you know, for me, I don't see how it's a good move really for him in the short term, because I don't see him getting any game time, not really.
I think it's a terrible move, to be honest with you.
Yeah, his main concern was obviously that, you know, he wanted to be playing.
Right.
That's what, you know, he was desperate to play. Desperate to play. And I don't think it's a good move for him, unless obviously somewhere along, you know, they're going to plan to loan him out again along the way. I don't know if that's the case. Whether that, you know, whether it'll be Fulham, I kind of almost doubt it, actually, because I think, you know, I almost got this impression that if Kit was going to stay on as manager, he didn't want to stay on at Fulham. You know, perhaps that's the advice he's been getting, but I think he just felt that Kit wasn't giving him the chance. So I can understand his desire to get away, but I don't know. I think it's a bit disappointing, but it's a bit of a Ross McCormack deal, really, isn't it? Sort of, you know, half the money up front and the half to come in various appearances. But if it is the case, I just hope there's a big clause in there. Because, you know, look at our friends QPR getting zillions of pounds because of the a clause for the Raheem Sterling move.
Very good point, David.
And, you know, it's sickening, really, because we hate to see them do so well, really, I think. But we need that, something like that needs to be in there. And if he gets sold on for big money in the future, then we should be getting a cut of that as well. I think it's only fair. It doesn't really hurt anyone, you know, to have that in there. Only speculation, but I think it's getting more and more likely. For me, not a good move for him personally, but, you know, it may turn out to be a good move for Fulham.
It could, David. And, you know, again, this is just speculation, but it's pretty strong speculation. And it's funny, our Cottage Talk co-host, Mike Gregg, already retweeted out the story as well. So he's on top of it, just like we are. And we're following this because, again, it just seems very interesting that he's not with the club today. And then, again, with all the stuff that we've been hearing today, you know, again, it's just fascinating to follow. And we'll see how this all turns out to be. And David, why don't you dial back in? You know, again, we might go a little bit over the allotted time. Why don't you dial back in? Because I definitely want to get your thoughts on Emerson Hyman. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's fine then. I'll dial back in, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Cheers. Okay, that was David Holly. He'll be joining me back in just a second. And while I wait for David to rejoin the show, again, just want to reiterate what we're seeing. Again, exclusive in the Telegraph just came over that Man City to pay staggering £11 million for 18-year-old, 22 championship appearance. That would be Pat Roberts. Again, it looks like it would be the initial fee would be £5 million plus extras up to £11 million. So, again, that seems like is the potential deal. Again, this is speculation, but it's pretty strong. And with the situation that Pat Roberts is not with Fulham today, gets you to think that maybe there's something to this. All right. David, you back with me?
Yeah, you got me okay?
I got you okay. You are now on direct link. That's fantastic. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it sounds a lot clearer, actually.
It does. It does. I'm glad that you were able to connect this way, my friend. Boy, today has been, I guess you could say, just a learning lesson for the two of us dealing with Direct Connect, dealing with Blog Talk Radio. It's just, you know, it's been interesting. But you know what? Like I said this earlier, I've enjoyed doing the show with you. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I was a bit worried you're going to throw a stop and just give up completely because I would have been a big shame because obviously it's always great to do the show. And from a perfectly selfish point of view, I'm bored shitless here most of the time. And I'm really glad to have something different to do apart from watching endless game shows and daytime TV.
All right, David. Well, again, that's what's great. I'm glad that we could do this. And you know, I was starting to lose it a little bit. You know, I pulled it together. We gave it another shot and we made it work. It took about 35 minutes to finally get us going, but we got the show going and I think it really came out great. But listen, we have one more subject to go through in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. And I found this interesting earlier this week. Nick Giorgio wrote a very interesting article on Viva El Fulham entitled Emerson Hyman Must Start. And again, he goes into details about Emerson Hyman. Okay, David, what are your thoughts about Emerson Hyman this season? Do you expect him to potentially start? Can you see him playing a role as a substitute? Or, you know, God forbid he's not with Fulham this season. I shouldn't say God forbid. You know what I mean. That he might not end up with Fulham. I hope he is part of Fulham's plans this season. I'm curious your thoughts on Emerson Hyman this upcoming season.
I think it's a very dangerous precedent to say someone must start, you know. no one has a God-given right to a place in the team.
Sure.
But I think he should certainly be in contention for a place. You know, no one expected to see him start last season. And we're all very pleasantly surprised. You know, his initial spell, I think he was fantastic, really. And in terms of the scheme of things, he probably is that kind of replacement for Scott Parker that we will need sooner or later. It's just whether or not he's ready for that now and the system that we're going to be playing. Because at the moment now, you know, this 4-4-2 we've started with, And today it's LVC and O'Hara in the middle. There isn't a place for another central midfielder. And, right, you know, no one's going to kick LVC out, I don't think. Not unless he suffers a dramatic, you know, loss of form. You know, we could rename this article LVC Must Start. But the same applies for everyone. You know, for everyone, you know, at the end of the day, because no one has a God-given right to a place in the team. But based on last season, the way he started the first half of the season, you'd say LVC must start. From what I'm reading on Twitter, O'Hara's doing really well so far in a central midfield role. So, you know, already that limits other players' opportunities, especially with the sort of system. If we're going to play a 4-3-3, there may be a role for an extra player in there, whether it be Parker, whether it be Tunnicliffe, whether it be Hyman. But I think at the moment it will be hard to guarantee him a place. I certainly would like to see him there or thereabouts. I think he's, you know, certainly worthy of a place in the squad. Whether he makes a bench, I don't know, because it depends on what options you want to have on the bench, really. He's not the sort of person you would pull off the when you're chasing a match necessarily, because you know, you'd be looking for attacking options normally. But there's always, you know, you need someone who's versatile, I guess, in midfield. You can cover a few positions. So it's difficult to say what to do until we see any more exits from the squad or any more additions to the squad as to where he's going to fit into things. Certainly, he's got to be considered to be in there. But I just don't see how he could get a starting position in his own right at this minute from the players we have and the formation we're playing at the moment.
Yeah, listen, it's an interesting situation with Emerson Hyman, because I think he could be a player, David, and I want to see him be a player long-term for Fulham. Another issue with Emerson Hyman that, again, we haven't talked enough about, David, he's in the final year of his deal, and Fulham need to re-sign this guy, David.
Oh, certainly, yeah. We don't want to be letting him go. I mean, you know, he's, 18 years old or so. He's already getting international recognition. We've got to get him tied up on a longer contract, because we don't want to have a situation like with Pat Roberts where we're going to be held to ransom because there's not a long contract. He's certainly got talent, Hyman. Certainly quality player. Despite being relatively diminutive, he's pretty tough. Good passer of the ball. Got some good qualities there. So, yeah, most certainly get him on a longer deal. Even if ultimately we can't keep him, at least that gets us a better fee in the long run.
Yeah. No, listen, I think they need to re-sign this kid ASAP. Because, again, I had seen speculation earlier in the year that there were some German teams sniffing around that might be interested in, and that's why I'm bringing it up, David. And I think it's the business regardless to re-sign up Emerson Hyman, and I'll be curious to see what his role is going to be, because, you know, it could be tough for him, but we shall see. Okay, a couple of quick comments from the Fulham supporters. Colin Forknall said, Jamie O'Hara and Kearney could be hard, but we will see. Ben Reed said, no player must start. Hyman has no inherent right to start over any other player. If he is the best man for the job, then fair enough, he should start. If he's not, then he should fight for his place like any other squad member. Very good commentary there from Ben Reed. All right, David, I do have to share this before we wrap up the show. Again, very interesting tweet from our co-host, Mike Gregg. I think we'll appreciate this. I have to read, and I'm sure Mike will appreciate that we're reading this. Again, it's about Jazz Richards. Again, this is from Mike Gregg's Twitter account. Everything I feared about Richards is here right in front of me. Sorry, I know it's negative to say that, but was never my cup of tea. What are your thoughts about what Mike has to say about Jazz Richards?
I read it already, actually, but I think, you know, I take it with a pinch of salt, half seriously, half jokingly, because I know how much Mike likes Jack Grimmer. So I do wonder sometimes. I wonder sometimes if Mike is slightly clouded by that, and, you know, he always looks at everyone else slightly less positively. But I have to say, from when I've seen Jazz Richards, he certainly did nothing for me either in the games I've seen him play last season. As you know, I wasn't that keen on him signing. You know, it felt to me that he was teacher's pet, really. You know, he had a God-given right to get in the team, apparently. He was, you know, Kit's Welsh connection. Suddenly he just gets straight in the team, regardless of anything else. And that would be a bit, that would be a bit of concern if Kit kind of got some sort of nepotism towards Jazz Richards, that he gets to play regardless. You know, saying that, Jazz Richards is an international, did have a good performance for Wales. So must have something about him, I guess. But then that, of course, Wales team is picked by Kit and his mate, Chris Coleman. So you never know. But we just have to keep our fingers crossed that Jazz Richards can develop, because, you know, based on last season, you know, I would agree with what Mike's saying at the moment. I wasn't particularly enamoured by him at all, which then begs the question, you know, what do we do at right back? You know, if Kit decides he's not good enough, do we have Jack Grimmer back in? Is Jack good enough? Is Jack ready for a full season at right back? Could offer, you know, open up another can of worms. He certainly has potential, Jack Grimmer. But if he's our only viable option at right back, then it's, again, a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm hearing some things as well, David, that I can tell you offline. But, you know, there could be a player or two coming in or actually talking to Fulham possibly, and we'll see how this all shakes out. But right back, you know, again, it's very interesting. When I know Mike has a bias against Jazz Richards because he does like Jack Grimmer, but I also value Mike's opinion, and Mike knows Fulham like the back of his hand, just like you do. And when you guys say, you know, someone's not good enough, I do put stock in it. I know he does have a little bias here, but Mike is usually pretty good on things like this. So I do take a little bit with what he says. Anyways. All right, my friend, let's wrap up the show. Really great show, my friend. It's always great to talk to you. And I will mention that on the next show, next Saturday, hopefully it will be the return of Giannis Janaeus. Giannis was hoping to join us today, but he could not make it, David. But he did send his kind regards to you because he wanted to do the show with you.
Well, hopefully we can say next Saturday, hello.
All right, David. Let's wrap up this show. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download Cars Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to Cars Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For David Hulley and also Mike Gregg for calling in, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David.
Cheers, Russ. Thanks, everybody. Speak to you soon.
Okay.